to the show that never ends. This is Wayback Playback episode number 309, as this week we bring you the conclusion of WWF SummerSlam 1988. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil. Normally, I'm joined by the other half of the podcasting tag team champions of time and space, Mr. Jim Valley. Jim is still on the disabled list, so we are going to go with hopefully the other half of the mixed match tag team champions of time and space. PW Torch correspondent Sarah Knight. Sarah normally is best known for doing the Total Divas recap at the Torch. Sarah, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine and experience the Mega Powers meeting the Mega Bucks in front of 1,000 points of light?
I am going to relive when I was 9 years old. Yes, Pat.
Oh, wow. That's, well,
That is how old I was when this pay-per-view was on the air.
There was absolutely no need for you to reveal that, Sarah. I just want you to know that. Now is this almost as exciting as watching Total Divas?
It might be more exciting than watching Total Divas.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't have to pretend to care about Nikki Bella here, so.
Well, that's good. And, by the way, congratulations to both the Bellas. We hope that they are resting comfortably. And
on their nameless children.
Yes,
who has children and doesn't name their children, Pat?
Well, maybe, you know, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. We've seen the names that Brie Bella came up with, and maybe they're just protecting their children from ridicule for a few more days.
For naming their son Buddy?
Something like that, yeah. Well, Buddy, I mean, they're naming it after
with better names.
Buddy, they're naming it after Buddy Landell. What could be more American than that?
Buddy Danielson.
Buddy Danielson? No. Oh.
That's apparently Brian Danielson's father's name, allegedly.
Well, I mean, it might be his nickname, but we're not going to, you know, I'd rather not make fun of Brian Danielson's father.
I'm okay with making fun of Buddy, Pat.
Okay, well, I'm not going to make, okay, I mean, maybe it's Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker. Did you think of that?
That is a terrible person to name your child after.
I'm not going to argue with you, Sarah.
That would have been much more badass.
We can argue that later. Okay, fans who would miss Jim Valley and want to re-experience all of these shows that Jim and I have done together, including those that were behind the paywall before now, you go to patreon.com/waybackplayback, and over 250 episodes stored there. You get the new episodes in advance and commercial free, which is always nice. We like that. And right now, we just put up when we did WrestleMania 18, 4 hours of Jim and I doing alternate commentary for WrestleMania 18. It's a great show. It's even better if you watch it along with Jim and myself, Sarah. Just take my word for that. All right. Also on the charts, this was the first week that Wayback Playback has charted in the freedom-loving nation of Japan, the 42nd most popular wrestling podcast in Japan last week. Thank you very much. And believe it or not, the 495th most listened to podcast of any sort in the nation of India. Why? Not sure. But if you're looking forward to that five-part Great Kali retrospective, I'm saving that until Jim comes back. And I don't think Sarah can blame me for that.
Are there actually five Great Kali matches?
Yes. You're going to have to pick...
He wasn't in the Punjabi prison match, was he?
Actually, I don't think he was. That's a good point.
Isn't that like Big Show versus Randy Orton?
Yeah, Randy Orton versus Jinder. That was a Punjabi prison match. Yeah.
Was Big Show in a Punjabi prison match?
I'd be willing to bet on it. I can't imagine anybody else being in one voluntarily. Okay, so picking up about where we left off, this is the point where we review the internet reviews of the show in question. This is SummerSlam 88. Back in 1988, Dave Meltzer reviewed the show, and the best match on the show, according to Dave, the main event that we're going to see, the Mega Powers versus the Mega Bucks, clocking in at 2¾ stars. Matches that we've already seen in the previous 2 hours, Junkyard Dog versus Rick Rude, Ultimate Warrior versus Honky Tonk Man, and Don Morocco versus Dino Bravo, all received 0 stars, otherwise known as a dud. So that was the bottom here. Meanwhile, over at PW Torch, Wade Keller gave the opening match and the main event each a B+, which were the highlights of the show. The Warrior Honky Tonk Man match got no rating, but Wade liked the angle. Below that, Don Morocco versus Dino Bravo got the D-, and no love for Dino Bravo or Don Morocco. which actually is, it's understandable. Wade's review in one sentence: the card was enjoyable but too long. Wade would be writing that.
Wade had no idea what was coming, did he?
No, he didn't.
He did not know about 7 hour long.
Poor Wade Keller from 1988. I wouldn't have the heart to go back in time and tell him. And as you may have heard, we're joined by our sponsor, Ken of Kenentech Pet Care of Bangor, Maine.
Absolutely.
Kenentech.com, KENANDTEK.com. Also, he's on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, all under Kenentech, KENANDTEK.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily bother checking the Twitter account.
Now I know this has been this has not been the most fun year that we've all had in 2020. So how are things up in Maine? I've seen the statistics. You guys are doing very well at handling the Rona.
We are. Yeah, I don't really know who's to credit for that, but however it came together, we've done quite well. Our cases have dropped precipitously. We're not a very heavily congested state to begin with, so we had that working in our favor. But yeah, there were definitely, I know for my business, I definitely took a hit for about 3 months. Things were definitely slower than I am used to. But just my clients are so terrific, Pat. I had so many people that even though they weren't using me over the last 3 months, they continued to pay me,
wow.
You know, because, they said that they wanted to keep their spot. I had other people that were still hiring me to come by. And they would, you know, put their dog outside on an extended leash so that we would have no contact with one another. And I could still continue to walk their dogs. Like, just my clients were so good to me, better than I deserved, I'm sure. And it was just wonderful being that highly thought of from everyone. And now I will say July has picked right back up, and I'm almost as busy as I was in the months leading into the pandemic. So I just can't thank my clients enough for being that good to me for so long. I couldn't have got by without them.
Okay, in the Bangor, Maine area, Kenentech Pet Care, KENANDTEK.com. Rates
Absolutely.
And services and recommendations all on the website. And we thank you very much for sponsoring Wayback Playback.
Now, I thank you, Pat.
Hello, my name's Jamie Irwin, and I host the podcast What's Your Favorite on the Creative Control Network. Join me as I ask a different guest each week about all their favorite things. Favorite band, film, song, food, drink, animal, season, TV show, book, and much more. You can find What's Your Favorite with Jamie Irwin by searching on all your favorite podcast apps. So subscribe today and check out what might be your new favorite podcast. What's your favorite? Did I just say the word favorite enough times? Yeah.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com. What's still to come. All right. At present, we are 1 hour and 37 minutes. We are getting ready for our last three matches. Sarah, I have a wide shot of the arena, and in the on the left side of the arena, I can see the ring. Is that about right?
Yeah.
Okay. So everybody, we're all going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. And yeah, this is going to be the Hall of Fame hour, Sarah. There's a lot of Hall of Famers on in this hour. And let's go to the ring and Howard Finkel. And well, look at that friendly face. It's the Big Boss Man, Ray Traylor. You're a big fan of the Big Boss Man, Sarah.
We're going to figure out that a lot of people that were on this pay-per-view are dead, aren't we, Pat?
Yes, Slick is not dead.
Is Don Morocco still alive?
Yes, Don Morocco's still alive, and last I heard, still living in Hawaii.
Dino Bravo, isn't it?
Dino Bravo got his own episode on Viceland, so.
Yeah, I think I watched that.
Yep, so no. Also still alive, the great Coco Beware, I believe.
He wasn't the one that died while he was jogging?
No, I don't think so. he's coming out to his hit song from the wrestling album Volume 2, Pile Driver.
And the parrot didn't.
Frank,
are we allowed to swear on this podcast, Pat?
It's like AEW. You get the S word once per show.
Okay, the parrot didn't shit, so good parrot.
Okay, anything after that, you're going to get bleeped, but yeah.
Birds are notorious for doing
yes,
that. Pat.
Yes, they are. All right. You people should be glad we're not doing the video version of this. Actually, yeah. Actually, Sarah looks fine. Don't worry about it. All right, so it's the boss
they
man.
They did not lock up here, Pat.
What's that?
I don't know if you've ever listened to Jim Cornette's podcast or Raven's podcast, but they did not lock up.
No, they did not lock up.
Both Jim Cornette and Raven are going to be very disappointed in this.
This is WWF. There's no time to lock up. There's 10 matches on this show. Come on, Sarah. Get with the prayer. There we go. He's back. Oh, Coco. Yay. Not to be confused with Coco Watch Out from, which is the Rock's character from Saturday Night Live.
Yep. Well, we haven't gotten to a Randy Orton headlock yet.
Nope. Oh, boy.
I think Bossman is in the ropes like 7 seconds into this match.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Like
that,
I said,
that amazingly quickly.
There's no, yeah. That escalated quickly. That kicked up a notch, and Slick stabbed him with his trident. Okay. Anyway. All right. So here we go. It's a reset. This is one of the this is the Boss Man's first WWF pay-per-view match. And Coco Beware, his last appearance on pay-per-view was WrestleMania 4 when he got pinned by Bobby Heenan. So, gee, I wonder how this is going to end. All right. Well, actually, I can't. I don't think Jim Cornette's going to say too many bad things about Ray Traylor.
Well, they did just try to lock up there.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Locking up is not a priority for this match, in case you didn't notice.
Yeah, I can see that.
There we go. Oh, splash in the corner. And yeah, Boss Man, he'd lose about, I mean, he started losing weight almost immediately after he came into the WWF, and he'd be like 30 or 40 pounds lighter by the end of 88, I'd say.
That's right. A lovely shot of the parrot.
That's right. Well, no, Frank, no Coco Beware match could be complete without a shot of the parrot there. All right.
I'm amazed the parrot did not try to escape.
You would think so. Well, he's in Madison Square Garden. I mean, if you're gonna escape, are you gonna wait till you're in New York City to escape, or are you gonna escape in Joplin, Missouri, or somewhere, or wherever else you go? You know.
Oh, where it's warm.
Yeah.
Parrot's picking its spot.
That's right. Oh, here we go. Oh, it's the chiropractic stretch. Oh, no. You hate to see this, Sarah.
How come they don't just stand up when they do this?
Yeah. No, it's way too dangerous. The boss man's got... Oh, never mind.
Is he going to rip his arms off?
Yes, that could happen.
The big boss man needs some deodorant.
Yeah, well, that's why he started losing weight. I mean, they're getting the big boss man ready. They know that. I'm assuming they planned it out because they know at the end of '88 he's going to be going after Hulk Hogan.
Now, how is he allowed to wrestle with like handcuffs and other paraphernalia on his belt? There,
it's the World Wrestling Federation. Anything can happen in the World Wrestling Federation.
He's got his keys.
Yes.
He could have taken Coco Beware's eye out, and then Seth Rollins wouldn't have had that angle.
I know. Well, you know, you got to give them credit for saving the angle for that long.
But he has keys, and he's not using them.
Yep. Oh, he had a ball. He had a big stick and a ball and chain. Remember, that's in the song. I don't know where those are. Oh, he's going up. He's going up top.
They did not gimmick his shirt.
No, they did not. Oh. Fortunately, he landed feet first, so. Which made me wonder how he was actually going to hurt Coco that way, but. Okay. Oh! Coco, too fast for the boss man. Oh, he's ready. Coco's psyching himself up. Wow. That's a very energetic comeback there.
Yes.
All right, here we go. Now Coco's going to go up top. There you go.
This is the finishing move? No. No, it's not. Okay.
Well, it should be. If you hit a drop kick off the top rope, it should be the finish. No.
How is it that Slick hasn't cheated as his manager yet?
Well, he hasn't needed to, I guess, would be the...
I'm somewhat disappointed. There should just be some cheating. That's what managers
for the sake of cheating?
Yes, just obligatory cheating. He's not even using those keys.
No, he's not. Oh, he just dumped Coco over the top rope, which somehow didn't hurt him. And now he's going to go for, we got it? Ah, yes, the boss man slam.
Really? That ended that match?
Well, that's his finish.
That was not terribly believable.
All right, so there he is.
I was 9 when this match happened originally.
There he is, the big boss man.
Slick didn't even cheat for him.
I know.
He shouldn't have been paid for that evening.
Easy night for Slick.
He stood there.
Oh, and he's got the handcuffs. And the big stick. Oh, no.
So WWE building security hasn't improved any since 1988.
No, I would say not. Oh, there we go.
Because right. To this day, it amazes me on Raw when, like, they have somebody attack somebody and they just let them do it.
Yeah.
You would think at some point someone would, like, sue for an unsafe work environment, but
well,
I guess...
Sarah, you got to remember these are the halcyon days of 1988 when a police officer would only hit an African American in the kidneys instead of anyway. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, look at that fan on the back. He's so excited.
Slick still hasn't cheated for him at all.
Nope. He should demand a refund. Hey. All right, the big boss man.
Thanksgiving.
Okay. Okay. Well, Sarah apparently has the version as the actual version of the show where the has a plug for the 88 Survivor Series. All right. Yeah. Okay, and I think that the version on the WWE Network is skipping ahead to Sean Mooney interviewing the Ultimate Warrior.
Oh, okay. So, mine... Oh, all right. Let's get to the Ultimate Warrior. Wait. There we go.
The
Survivor Series.
The Warrior spoke. The Ultimate Warrior is talking, and Junkyard Dog walks behind him like, that guy's nuts. And
All right, just talked about Parts Unknown.
Yes, you might need to fast forward a bit to catch up here. Actually, I'll just...
Did he already have his match?
Yes, he did. He already beat the Honky
okay.
Tonk Man.
Because if he hadn't, I don't know why his paint is in his hair.
There wasn't much of a match. If you'll skip back to last week's episode, you'll understand why.
Did he basically just run to the ring
and
then
kill him? Yes, he did. Okay, I'm.
Well, Hercules is in the ring right now.
Okay, Madison Square Garden. Here we go. SummerSlam '88, and Hercules is in the ring. Okay. Now that I tried to do that, Sarah's a couple seconds ahead. But it's the Mighty Hercules. And the Mighty Hercules is without his manager, Bobby the Brain Heenan, because Bobby Heenan is holed up with he's hanging out with Andre, and he's way too busy to get involved in any of this stuff.
Okay.
The man from Stone Mountain, Georgia, Nick the Snake Roberts. And Sarah's going to have to turn down the volume just a skosh on that so that it's, because the microphone's picking it up. But anyway. Oh, and there's a snake. I don't know if you're seeing this, Sarah, but there's a snake.
There's the albino snake.
Yeah. All right. It's Jake Roberts and Hercules.
Oh,
This is a main event. Well, it's not a main event in any arena in the country because it's not even the main event tonight, but it's a match. It's a main event on primetime wrestling, probably.
Now, the referee just checked Jake Roberts' boots, but he let Big Boss Man wrestle with those keys.
It's a different referee. This looks kind of like Tim White.
Yeah. Standards by then, Pat. It was 1988.
Right. Yeah, it's 1988. Jake Roberts is tan. That's how long ago this was. Oh, there we go.
And he had a whole head of hair.
Yeah, I know. Then again, I had a full head of hair in 1988, so that doesn't really mean anything. All right. Oh, down goes Jake.
And they didn't lock up.
No, they didn't. No, because they're pressed for time. This is only a 3-hour show. This isn't like 2020 where it's a 3-hour and 5-minute show and everything drags out forever.
You mean where every match is 20 minutes long and has 3 commercial breaks?
Yes.
And there's no such thing as a squash match?
No, not yet. Well, if there was a squash match, Sarah, in 2020, people would change the channel.
You don't think that we would be surprised by the novelty of that and just stare at our screens and disbelief?
Well, it's happened, but, you know. I mean, geez. I mean, the last time there were squash matches, you got to remember, the last time there were squash matches on Raw, you got James Ellsworth, so. You know. I guess they're scared of that happening again. Okay.
They had a ladies' squash match.
Yeah, that's true. They do have ladies' squash matches from time to time.
Hey, Jake just pushed the referee. Shouldn't he be disqualified?
Well, maybe. Oh, there we go. Big body slam by Jake. Jake's got his working boots on tonight, folks.
Well, at least Hercules kicked the legs there.
Yep. He's working the headlock. There we go.
Is Hercules still alive?
No. No, Hercules is not alive, but Jake is, so go figure.
Is there a match on this card where both of the competitors are still alive?
Hold on. I'm going to have to think. Let's see. No. Well, it's 32 years ago, Sarah. That's a long time. I mean, come on. Really, that's unfair. What else was there? No, that's not it. Oh, but there is Norm MacDonald in a fake mustache in a cop uniform.
Okay.
They'll cut back to him. They'll cut back to him. He's right there in the front row.
Yeah, I just saw that.
Yeah. Hello.
There's some ass-squash jeans there.
Yeah.
Do you remember acid wash jeans, Pat?
Oh, yeah, I do.
I had one whole pair of them. Because I was a girl, so I had a lot of stretch pants.
And then the acid got them, yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah. Before they were called yoga pants, they were called stretch pants. And right. Small children wore them.
It's amazing. Okay. Oh, here we go. Hercules with a shot to the midsection. And back comes Jake. Eventually.
Was Jake pretending that he hit him lower than he did?
Probably. Because, you know, I mean, I guess Jake wouldn't be selling as much if it was just a regular shot to the midsection. Although Jake almost has abs at this point.
Yeah, he is surprisingly in shape.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, there we go. All right. Oh, there we go. He's working it now. There's no way Jake's getting out of this. And superstar Billy Graham is waxing poetic about how well that move can be used, even though nobody's ever won a match with it in the 80s. Okay. Big clothesline. All right. Yes, you can tell that the audience is convinced that Hercules is going to roll on to victory here.
They look like they're sitting in their seats on their hands, Pat.
They might be.
Okay, this is where Randy Orton got that headlock from, isn't it?
Well, Randy, I mean, this is the era. He watched his father.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a reverse chin lock.
It is a reverse chin lock, see?
Which looks surprisingly like a headlock.
Well, that's because you're not looking at the arm position. See, the arm position keeps changing. You know who could explain this to you better than I could? Wade Keller. We love
Wade. Jake is swimming in a pretend sea right now.
Yep. Oh, that's how you do it. That's how you sell. That's how you put over. That's how you put over how hard this hold is affecting you. Now, if you were in that hold and you were trapped inside the armpit of the big boss man, then you might actually be selling.
I might, but yeah. Hercules keeps letting his arms go, so I'm not really sure.
Well, you don't want to actually hurt the guy. I mean, come on, he's got to come back and win the match.
I think they're both voluntarily laying on the mat at this point.
Well, look, yeah. Well, no, this is psychology. See.
Two people have just returned from the bathroom in the front row.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fake cop Norm Macdonald is working on his Burt Reynolds impression in his head there. You know.
All right. Well, Jake and Hercules are no longer taking a nap.
No good. Oh, yeah. Jake almost made it to the ropes.
Jake just fell to the floor. So we're back to napping status.
Okay. I don't know. Well, Jake is in danger of getting his mustache messed up, so there we go. He's going to fight now. Yeah.
Right. He has a lot of mustache. I'm not sure you could actually mess that up. Mm-hmm. I've forgotten how much mustache he had.
He had a lot of mustache. There we go. And he's fighting back.
That is not a subtle mustache.
Right. Oh, that's good. All right. Nice work there by Hercules. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. So, yeah. Hercules is in tremendous shape, Sarah.
That is why he just fell out of the ring like a sack of potatoes. Okay. Right.
Oh, no. Hold on. We're going to...
That was the most devastating fall out of the ring, apparently.
I know. It's horrible. I mean, it's... I don't know how Jake's going to recover from this. There we go. Oh, no. Okay.
Bender.
All right. Okay, so now, yeah, you're a little bit ahead, so now Jake is in the ring and Hercules is out of the ring. Boy, that's quite the reversal of fortune, and... Come on, Herc. You can do it. Okay. All right, so... We are going to get a finish to this match, but I mean, this is part of the WWF tradition. Is you get you slow down the crowd, and you get them nice and relaxed so they can be ready for the main event.
Hercules did not tan his legs.
He didn't. No, he barely tanned his upper body. How is he going to tan his legs?
Yeah. I think he and I might rival for that Sheamus human jar of mayonnaise there. I think my legs are that light, too.
I believe it's called alabaster skin when you do it. I'm pretty sure.
They almost match his white boots.
Okay. Well, there we go.
By the way, how did Jake the Snake and Hercules both get away with wearing black tights in this match?
I don't know. Lack of quality control.
Vince McMahon had a no-same-color tights rule.
I know. I mean, WCW had a no-same-color tights rule.
Isn't this a match with a heel versus a heel?
No, because Jake's a babyface.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Was this after the Rick Rude angle?
No, this is during the Rick Rude angle.
Oh, okay. Why isn't he facing Rick Rude, then?
Because that would have made too much sense. Well, as we discovered in a previous episode, because they were having Jake fight Rick Rude on all the house shows, so.
So doing it on pay-per-view didn't make any sense.
I guess not.
The Norm Macdonald cop in the front row is not impressed with this.
No, he's not. Yeah.
The entire front row was not impressed with this.
The Norm Macdonald cop is wondering, think I can get anybody to buy my Bob Dole impression? Maybe I can do Bob Dole on the real world.
Wait, the Norm Macdonald cop just turned around. Oh. Is he actually supposed to be watching the crowd?
Yes, actually he is.
Oh, my God.
That's what security's supposed to be doing. Yes. Good call.
All right, so it was not the albino snake.
No. No, it's not.
Who was it that crushed the snake?
That would be Earthquake.
Okay.
Earthquake's the one who crushed the snake, yeah. Yes, this is Damien. Yeah. Jake the Snake Roberts, ladies and gentlemen.
Does not look like really bothered by the snake on him.
Well, he's supposed to be
there right now.
He's supposed to be out, so. I mean, Hercules is going, yeah, okay, this is an easy night. Plus, Hercules just got off of a long program against the Ultimate Warrior, so he's, you know, so he's thrilled. He's like, snake in the face, no problem. All right, move along. Artie Langkop is probably going to be coming by to help him in any second now. Oh, Damien. Yes, so Gorilla Monsoon just called Damien he or she, because he has no idea. I guess he's admitting he has no idea how to tell the sex of a snake, but...
I don't think most people have any idea how to tell the sex of a snake apart.
I mean, I would think Jake's... You'd think Jake's word would be good enough for him, but I guess not. Okay. Yep. Let's see that snake again. All right, now we're gonna recap what led up to the Mega Powers facing the Mega Bucks. Well, we'd have to start with WrestleMania 4, obviously. Oh yeah, yeah, oh, yeah. He's not scared of Andre the Giant. I want the belt.
Why are they showing Elizabeth from the back?
Because Ted DiBiase is gonna attack Randy Savage from behind. Sorry. Spoiler. Okay. Oh, now he's getting choked out by Andre. Oh, no.
There.
Oh, no.
Who is not struggling at all. She's just standing there.
Yeah, well.
And so is Bobby Heenan.
Yeah. Bobby Heenan's not, yeah. Well, Bobby Heenan doesn't have, to do anything. I mean, Andre's just, you know. Oh, there we go. Oh, no, you hate to see it. Randy Savage getting worked over by... there's Craig DeGeorge. Yes. Yes, and there's going to be a tag team match. I wonder who Randy Savage will choose as his partner. I can't imagine.
I'm going to go with not Elizabeth.
Yeah. Well, Hulk Hogan is off making a movie, and you know that movie's going to be hugely successful.
Was that Thunder in Paradise or Mr. Nanny?
That would be No Holds Barred.
Oh, the movie that traumatized me as a child.
Yeah, well, that's because you watched it.
Actually, Ferris Bueller's Day Off is the movie that traumatized me as a child.
I'm sorry to hear that. You were exposed to young Jeffrey Jones?
It was the dog, Pat.
Oh, okay.
I was like 8 when that came out, and the dog like ate the principal, and it was mean. Yeah.
It was Jeffrey. He was played by Jeffrey Jones. I'm going to argue he deserved it.
He probably did, but I was 8 and I felt bad for him for being attacked by a dog.
Oh, Jesse Ventura is a special referee for this match. How about that?
Whatever happened to Sean Mooney?
He's doing a podcast. I know you're shocked by that.
Wow, they actually got $100 bills for Ted DiBiase.
Oh, Ted DiBiase, yeah, Ted was taken care of.
They had a legit talent budget for that.
No, Vince would just open his money clip and hand him the $100 bills. There it is, it's Hulk Hogan. Oh, yeah, I wish we'd color coordinated, yeah, this was awkward, yeah.
Well, Randy has some yellow things. Ooh.
I guess there are some yellow things in there. Oh, Hulk Hogan, yeah. Well, that guy's thrilled.
This wasn't the Hulk Hogan original hair, pre-hair extension days, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was what was left of what was on there. Oh, my God, Jesse Ventura has hair here, too. Uh-huh.
Yes, and we have young Bruce Pritchard. Yes, it's Jesse Ventura. Brother Love is asking Jesse Ventura if he's scared of Andre the Giant. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think Jesse Ventura is only scared of lung blood clots.
Right. Probably.
And aliens. Yep. And whatever else is a conspiracy theory.
Okay. All right, that's Brother Bobby Heenan.
Wayne Keller had no idea Jesse Ventura was going to be his governor at this point, did he?
Well, I don't think Wade was the only person who didn't predict that. Yeah. Right. And And Andre backs him down. And I think. Right.
Why is everyone playing with Jesse's coat?
Well, Ted's leaving money in there.
Oh. Okay.
So it's okay.
It wasn't like Jericho's $7,000 jacket then.
No. But don't worry, Jesse's already explained earlier on the pay-per-view that just because he took the money doesn't mean he's being influenced one way or the other.
How come he's only giving him one bill at a time?
Well, it's for dramatic effect. Right. Okay, so here we go. This is the one we've been waiting for, Sarah. It's the Mega Powers against the Mega Bucks. So you remember this match, right?
Vaguely.
How long has it been since you've seen it?
Well, I was 9, so.
Oh, so that's a while. Let's go with a while. How about that?
Well, it's 32 years ago, Pat.
Yeah. A while. It's the main event. Well, Howard Finkel has hair, so.
Howard Finkel, also dead.
Well, unfortunately, yes. That's a somewhat recent development, though, so. All right, let's welcome Jesse Ventura. Introductions for everybody. Oh, there we go.
That's an impressive costume.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. All right.
I don't know about this fringe. Was fringe in 1988?
I'm based on what I've seen so far. Yeah, it looks that way.
This looks like kind of like 1960s.
It was in wrestling in 1988. It wasn't, outside of wrestling. No, probably not. It was like 19. I'm thinking like late 70s, early 80s. Maybe you could have pulled that off.
Was this the only thing that he had that was black and white? Like, he didn't invest in a costume for this.
Well, I mean, I would think an actual referee shirt could have been available, but...
Yeah, but that would have been too simple.
Yes.
They probably could have got him, like, a zebra print ref shirt.
Okay, here we go. Mega Bucks time. And the green tux. That's great stuff. It's kind of hard to go wrong with the green tux.
Match? Does he do more than slick in this match?
Who? Virgil?
Yeah, is he making his money tonight? Because Slick kind of just stood there and didn't do any heel manager stuff.
Yeah, I think, if I remember correctly, I think Virgil and Virgil earns his money more than Heenan does, so. Okay. There they are.
Ted DiBiase and his sweet mullet.
Yes. This is the biggest tag match they could put together at this moment, so here they are. Wow, and that's quite a prom outfit that Elizabeth and Randy have.
Coordinated now, Pat.
Yeah, they are very color coordinated.
Liz is coordinated too.
Yes. All right, but they're a team.
This isn't the one where Liz takes off the bottom half of her dress, is it?
Boy, how about spoilers here, okay?
Man, it happened in 1988.
Yeah. But see, you remember the finish to this match. What was the finish of the main event of last year's SummerSlam, Sarah?
I don't know.
See? There you go.
Well,
That's why these are the classics. This is what everybody's been waiting for, the SummerSlam main event, the first SummerSlam. Had we only known that this would be the start of an annual tradition.
Oh, is this actually the first SummerSlam?
This is the first SummerSlam, yes.
Liz has some bodacious earrings there.
Yep, I mean...
should focus more on Liz's earrings and less on Hogan's bald spot.
Well,
by the
way,
not tan the bald spot.
Mm-hmm.
Distinctly not the same color as the rest of him.
Nope.
That is a man who is going to have skin cancer one of these days.
You would think.
That is not a spray tan.
Nope. Here we go. Yes.
Okay. Bobby Heenan, very much not tan.
No, he's Bobby Heenan. It's not the gimmick here.
The entire heel team there is, with the exception of Ted DiBiase, very pale.
That's right. Well, that's how you know they're the bad guys.
Very pale.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so...
How does Jesse Ventura dress like it's 1966?
Well, you know, I mean, you may not be aware of this, Sarah, but you know, some men like to just pick the year that they liked best, and they just dress like that for the rest of their lives.
I know.
Okay.
I recently worked with a young man who wore ICP shirts, and
well,
black...
there you go. There you go. Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
I still can't believe they couldn't get him, like, a zebra shirt or something.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
It also, it seems like he should have had some sparkles on that do-rag there.
It doesn't quite fit in with everybody else. Okay, so the reason we couldn't lock up in any of these other matches was so that we could stall for 10 minutes here at the top of this one.
So Jesse Ventura is taking the turnbuckle off himself.
He's switching the corners. Yes.
Oh, okay.
He decided he didn't like where the corners were.
Which they decided to do this far into the show?
Yeah, well, they've already had tag matches on the show, so.
Why is Hogan arguing this? Does it matter?
Well, I mean, it's different from where the corners usually are. There we go. Anyway.
Okay, nobody holds on to the tag rope, so I'm not sure why this matters.
Now, come on. You're supposed to hold on to the tag ropes. Are you implying that wrestlers don't follow the rules?
They do not follow the rules, Pat.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen the recent pay-per-view where Rey Mysterio got his eye pretend gouged.
Well, that was one of the... Now, the rule was that you could only win the match by taking out somebody's eye.
Which, again, I'm not sure why wrestlers haven't complained about an unsafe work environment.
They know better.
Like, it should be like a storyline.
Well, whenever they do storylines like that, they're terrible. That's
why. They've had a lot of years to try, though. They could have perfected it by now.
Yeah, well.
They also
imagine if they did a good storyline like that.
Nobody has locked up in this match so far. Jim Cornette and Raven are very sad.
Well, that's true.
Whoever complains about that too.
Maybe they should do their podcast together.
I'm not sure how that would work.
I'm not either.
Because that's a battle of two egos, Pat.
All right, here we go. And there's Hogan.
All right, so are they going to lock up?
No. No, why would they lock up? Oh, actually they did lock up.
They might. It's a small miracle. That lasted for 2 seconds.
Yep. And there we go. Atomic. Oh. And if you're wondering why Ted DiBiase is in this match, he's there to do all the work.
Okay, Randy Savage just put his hands all over the referee. Shouldn't he be disqualified?
Well, I mean, you'd think. It's Jesse Ventura, so it doesn't count.
Okay, because he's not wearing a striped shirt?
Yes. Randy's confused. Okay. Oh, here we go. Oh. Look at that tag team coordination.
Yes, Jesse Ventura, a terrible referee, allowing them to double team.
Yes. This is the most incredible tag team synchronicity since the Young Bucks.
Okay, how come Bobby Heenan and Virgil are on the ring apron and neither one of them is doing anything effectively as a heel?
Well, because this is the part of the match called the Shine. Anyway.
But if they're going to bother to be on the ring apron...
They shouldn't be. Well, they have to be on the ring apron to distract Jesse Ventura so that Hogan and Macho can double team.
They're working for the wrong people, Pat.
Yeah, well... There we go.
All right, wait. Did they actually tag?
Why would they do that? You just explained that nobody told them the tag ropes. But yeah, they did tag. Yeah. They tagged here. Oh, the double boot.
Doing a lot of double teaming in this match for the good guys.
Yeah, there are. It makes you think that at some point there's going to be a reversal of fortune here. I mean, you'd think so.
When Andre gets in the match at the very end.
Or like now. Now, why, and of course that begs the question, why would you stumble over into Andre's corner?
It's terrible psychology on Hulk Hogan's part.
Yeah, I know.
Also, how is Macho Man in the ring when Hogan was all the way over there?
Well, he's very quick.
Jesse Ventura is yelling at Liz, of all the people.
Yes, you're supposed to be upset at him for that. Okay, here we go. More double teaming. Very slow double teaming. Oh, my goodness. Oh, no.
Andre has finally made it into the ring.
You hate to see it, Sarah. You just hate to see what he's doing to poor Hulk Hogan.
He's pretending to sit on Hulk Hogan right now.
Well, it's a good thing he's pretending.
I think he just put his foot on Hulk Hogan's ear.
Could you imagine how hard it would be for him to get back up if he actually did sit
on
Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, actually.
Yeah, so. Oh, no. Hogan's in trouble.
All right. Isn't strangling in a wrestling match like an illegal move?
No, Jesse checked it. It's a good legal choke.
Oh, okay.
It's a good legal choke hold. It's a nerve hold. Okay.
Oh. Okay, it's a nerve hold and not a choke hold. That's how we got around.
Yes, that's it.
Jesse Ventura is paying no attention to this right now.
Well, so really that makes him no better or worse than the average WWF referee.
Except for the fact that he's wearing a tuxedo shirt from, 1967.
Yes. Yeah, there we go.
All right, Liz is clapping outside. I'm not really sure what
that's singlet, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I don't know how many high school football games you've been to, but, you know, occasionally the cheerleaders...
That's her one move.
...cheer for the wrong team, so... Yeah.
She's doing it again, okay.
Yeah.
And Jesse Ventura still paying no attention to the action.
Well, so there we go. Hogan's
okay,
getting worked over.
Did not tag in. He just wandered into the ring and kicked Hulk Hogan.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Okay, but... All right, but did Hogan and Savage tag earlier?
DiBiase tag? No. There was no tag there.
Nope. Here we go. Oh, Hogan got out.
He didn't hug the leg. What the hell?
Okay. Okay, Michael Hayes. Yeah. All right. There we go. A lot of trouble here. Two. Oh, only two. Nope. All right.
Still didn't hug the leg. This is terribly ineffective.
Yes, it is. The crowd rallying behind Hulk Hogan. Either that or somebody from the New York Yankees entered the arena. I don't know. Oh, the crowd's rallying behind Hulk Hogan. They cheer for Hulk Hogan like they cheer for no other wrestler. Blah, 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 blah.
Most of them are still sitting, Pat.
Yeah. Well, you know, they...
There was nothing that could get these people excited, was there? I mean, they are clapping. But...
Well, you'll have to wait till the end of the match. Oh, he's got Hogan's hair. He's pulling Hogan's hair, according to Gorilla. What's left of his hair, yes.
If he pulled on the mustache hair, that would probably be more effective.
Yeah, well, that's thick mustache hair.
It is. And he had to dye it that color.
Arr. Okay, Randy's trying to fire up the... Wow. That's quite the headlock. You know, I mean, it's one thing if the headlock's not applied tightly. It's another thing if you have your cameraman show a close-up of the headlock not being applied tightly.
That was, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, well, see, Heenan's earning his money. He's getting the fans to yell at him.
It's very nice of Jesse Ventura to stand in front of that camera shot there so that we can get a shot of his Reeboks.
That's right. Reebok, sponsor of SummerSlam.
Very, very effective.
Oh, here we go. Hogan's fighting back. He's going to fight his way out of this.
Well, first of all, Ted DiBiase barely has his hold on. They're kind of just voluntarily standing there.
All right. Oh, and both wrestlers are down. Okay, so the question is, who's going to make the tag first?
All right, I don't feel like Bobby Heenan and Virgil are doing their jobs at this point. Macho Man is doing more than they are.
Well, yeah. That's why Randy's the champion. See, Randy could have worked the whole match. He could have done everybody's roles.
I'm sure he could have.
Yep. All right, and then Ted DiBiase takes the backdrop. All right, good. Oh. Look at Ted DiBiase getting knocked around the ring. He's Savage is up top.
Poor Ted DiBiase.
Yes, the poor $1 million man.
Poor Ted DiBiase is back.
Well, yeah.
Carrying this match.
Yeah. Well, he had 5 good years left in him at this point before his back went out. Yep. Ooh. Nope. Yeah. So if you're wondering why they just didn't have Savage and DiBiase work a long match against each other, well, you're not alone. Anyway, here comes Andre.
At least they actually tagged this time.
That's true. Oh.
Andre has been the legal man since the last time he left the ring, since no one tagged him.
Oh no! I don't know how Randy Savage is going to come back from this. Oh! Why would you? Yeah. Andre's very up. There we go. Oh no.
Andre doesn't get down this match, does he?
What's that?
Andre doesn't get down off his feet in this match, does he?
No, no.
Then he would have to get back up.
Yeah. You don't want him to have to get back up. Oh.
All right, Hulk Hogan could sell for Randy Savage right now, like Randy Savage sold for him.
Hello, brother. I'm doing the best I can, brother. I'm standing on the apron, dude.
I still feel like Bobby Heenan could be doing more over there. He's just standing there.
Well, he doesn't need to be doing anything while his guys are winning. It's when his guys are losing that he should be doing something.
He should still be doing something dastardly.
Oh, there's the backbreaker. And that, the no-look, is this the no-look elbow drop? Ah, there we go. Classic move. Never works, but a classic move.
Ted DiBiase should have worn elbow pads.
You'd think.
Like the Cody Rhodes of knee pads.
Uh-huh. All right, here we go. Hot tag coming. Oh, there's Hogan. Yeah. goodness.
Thank God Hulk Hogan has had that minute and a half to stand on the ring apron and refresh.
That's right. He's all set. Oh. Oh, no. He got Andre down to one knee. Andre's down. Match is over.
Andre is all the way down on the canvas.
Wow. Oh, here we go. Oh, go over here, brother. Yeah.
Why is he disturbing Macho Man while Macho Man is doing his thingy?
Oh. Well, now we know.
Uh-oh. That did not work out well for Macho Man.
And Andre's on his feet. Oh, no.
Okay, at this point, who is the legal person in the ring? I've lost track of this.
Does it matter?
The dreaded ear pull.
Yep. Oh, boy. So, DiBiase's still legal. And I would think that Savage is still... Savage was legal. Oh, hold on. I was in danger. They're in danger of getting counted out. The Mega Powers are about to get counted out, but Elizabeth's jumping in to make the save in her McDonald's dress. And, oh, hold on. Hold on. Nope.
Is Liz going to get in the match?
Yes. See, now, Heenan and Virgil are on the apron in order to distract Jesse from the count.
Why are Heenan and Virgil, like, costing their own people the match?
Oh, here we go.
Worst heel managers ever.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Oh, my goodness. It's a girl. What am I supposed to do?
Pat, have you ever seen R.I.P.D.? The movie?
Yeah.
With the dude.
Oh, here we go. It's part of their strategy. It was just part of their strategy all along.
Because these men have never seen lady legs before, apparently.
That would be my guess, yes.
Yeah, and in R.I.P.D., the whatever character the dude played was really into women's ankles.
Oh, okay. Well.
Yeah, because he was from the 1800s or something.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Well, that would explain it, I guess.
In 1988, four grown men had never, ever seen a lady's legs before.
Mm. Oh, here we go. Oh, they dropped the big leg.
How did the skirt get in the ring?
Well, Elizabeth put it there. And there it is, folks. The winners of the match are the Mega Powers.
Because the heel team was distracted by lady legs.
That's exactly what happened, yes. Not just any legs, Miss Elizabeth's legs. Right? Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan very pleased with his manager, Miss Elizabeth's hard work.
Now, did Hulk spend too much time hugging Liz here?
Yes.
Because it seems like something that Randy would not have been kosher with.
Well, see, this was sort of... They built this for the whole year. He sees Hulk Hogan holding his lady and just sort of stares at him and is like, okay.
I don't know if Randy is going to be okay with his skirt twirling either. Wait, Liz just lost her skirt.
Well, okay.
Hogan's got to buy her a new skirt now.
Yeah, well. Okay.
Oh, wait, the skirt is back.
That's right. There we go. Oh, boy. The Mega Powers have won. It's mega exciting.
Yes, and Liz is standing there tepidly clapping about this.
That's right. Well, she's had a lot to do with this victory. Oh, yeah. Yes, it's a good thing Liz is there to tell them which side to pose to.
Like, while they're flexing and posing there, not shoot them from the back? No?
No, I guess not.
Did that not seem like it would have made sense?
You would think, but... it's just so exciting that the director can't keep track of everything.
All right, we finally have an obligatory crowd shot.
Well, yeah. Well, it's a big crowd.
We hadn't had 79 of those so far this match.
All right. Okay, there we go. Yay!
Like I have ever seen.
Yep. All right.
Hulk Hogan, not a dancer.
No, he's really not.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Well, I guess they would work on that during the filming of Mr. Nanny, so I don't know. Oh, wow, so...
Going back to the skirt.
We're back to the skirt. And he throws it back into the crowd. What a jerk.
That is how two grown men won a match in 1988. Okay, he's throwing it back into the crowd.
Yes, I know. It's just... There we go. Yay!
So wait, who was the champion? Was it Savage or
Savage
Hogan?
Is the champion, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's why they just threw the belt down in the...
Yep, there we go.
There.
Yep, Randy's the champion.
Well, Liz is the champion now.
Well, yeah, at the moment, yes. Well, she earned it.
I know, she lost half her outfit.
Yeah, I know. I didn't see Bobby Heenan going around losing half his outfit for his team.
Well,
I didn't see Virgil going around and losing his pants for his team. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
Okay, well, there you go.
Bobby Heenan did not do a lot of stuff to help their team out, Pat.
No, I would say not. History was made. Okay. All right, so, yes. And the next event they're promoting is the Vince McMahon... promoting a Sugar Ray Leonard boxing match, which, well, never mind. It didn't work out well.
Oh, was that the brief period in time where they had a boxing federation that never actually did anything?
No, they had a bodybuilding federation.
That's a bodybuilding federation,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Okay, yeah, it was a bodybuilding federation. Okay, so that is it for SummerSlam 88. You know, the one thing I've wanted to do on this podcast for the past few years is I wanted to collect all the old episodes of Way Back Playback from when we were behind the paywall and find a way to get them out to you people in the audience, especially those who just now picked up on the show over the past couple of years. And we've done that. We've done that on patreon.com/waybackplayback with the cooperation of the Pro Wrestling Torch. Most of our episodes from the Torch days are up there right now, and we're still adding some. We'll keep adding some over the next few weeks. Just to give you an idea of what's been added in the month of August, we've put in the old PW Torch livecast that Jim Valley and I did with the 2016 PW Torch brand extension draft, which was, you'll either love that or you'll hate that. That's really all I can say. We put in WrestleMania 17. We put in WrestleMania 17, all 4 hours of that with myself and Jim Valley. For people who have been missing Jim during his run on the disabled list, you get to hear that. Put in Saturday Night's Main Event from July 1990, where the build-up for SummerSlam 1990 and Ultimate Warrior and Rick Rude. We put in Super Brawl 3, a great show from 1992. 3 hours worth of that, including the big White Castle of Fear match. And more stuff is getting added each week. Plus, each week, you will get an early release of the episode before we add the commercials to it. An early release of Way Back Playback with no commercials. What more could you possibly want? You can get the archives and ad-free episodes for as low as $4.50 a month. You can get all the stuff we can cram in there, including bonus matches and features, for $10 a month. It's all at patreon.com/waybackplayback. Now, let's take a look at, we'll talk about what happened after SummerSlam 88. And, remind me, we'll put over our sponsor here in a bit. But after this... The next night was Tuesday night, August the 30th, and yes, the WWF went to, at least they sent one of their crews to Joplin, Missouri for a show. On that show, it was the one-man gang defeating the Junkyard Dog, and in the main event, Brutus Beefcake, who was too injured to wrestle tonight, defeated Ron Bass by disqualification. Meanwhile, let's see, on Wednesday, over in Jim Crockett Promotions, they taped their WCW Saturday Night Show at Center Stage. And on that show, it was Mike Jackson and Gary Royal beating the United States champions, the tag team champions of the Midnight Express, by disqualification, mostly due to Jim Cornette and the Midnight Express deciding to beat up the jobbers for no reason. And in what I guess would be the main event of World Championship Wrestling on Saturday night, the United States champion Barry Windham defeats the Italian Stallion. Great stuff. Let's see. The next AWA show was the next Saturday, September the 3rd in Medina, Ohio. Not familiar with Medina, Ohio, but...
Are you sure it's not Medina?
Probably. I don't know. It's spelled the same way. Medina, Ohio. And on that show, the AWA Women's Champion Medusa fought Fabulous Moolah to a double disqualification. So, yes, Fabulous Moolah actually worked for the AWA at one point during this. And in the main event, the AWA Champion Jerry the King Lawler defeated Wahoo McDaniel. And that's what happened. Now comes the part where we have to decide what we're going to see on our next set of shows. And let's see. Well,
guess you had a poll.
That's right. Well, we did have a poll. Well, we do have a poll, but the thing is, we have to have people picking matches to put in the poll. And normally, that's everybody gets to pick one, which means you'll have to come up with something, Sarah. Just choose something that is more than 15 years old, and you're fine. Preferably something that's on the WWE Network, but it's not necessarily.
The 800th pay-per-view where John Cena fought Randy Orton.
Well, if it happened before August 2005, then yes. Yes, you can do one of those. All right, so let's take a look at what we have here. I've picked what I think is an appropriate one out of the list of listener suggestions. Whoever it was who suggested SummerSlam 2002, we're going to throw that one out there. And a SummerSlam 2002, as you may remember, Shawn Michaels returned to take on Triple H in a big grudge match. And
was the Bob and the brown tights.
Something like that. And but the main event of SummerSlam 2002, as you'll recall, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, defending the WWF title against Brock Lesnar. Actually, it was the WWE title by that point. So The Rock versus Brock Lesnar. A very famous main event. But that'll be one of the choices. And let's see. We'll get the randomizer loaded up here. I guess I'm going to have to choose something, aren't I? Oh,
Chris Benoit was on that show.
Well, yeah, he was. He was on a lot of shows. We do cover Chris Benoit matches, actually.
We got Spike Dudley, Stevie Richards, Kurt Angle, Rey Mysterio.
Right.
Ric Flair was...
In 2000? Oh, yeah, in 2002. Okay, so, Sarah, do you have any idea what you'd like to put in as a choice?
Pat, I just go with SummerSlam 2002. Just head it against yourself.
Oh, geez. No, everybody...
Just pick SummerSlam 2003. How bad could that would have been?
Is that what you're picking?
Sure.
Okay, Sarah's going to pick SummerSlam 2003. I want to say that SummerSlam 2003 was Triple H versus Goldberg. Can you look
it
that
was.
Up? Can you look in that fact, up and verify that?
Yeah.
And maybe Brock Lesnar and Kurt Angle. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Okay, so there you go. Sarah's picking.
Kane had a no-holds-barred match with Rob Van Dam.
Well, that sounds fantastic. All right, so I'm going to have to choose something different.
There's still a Chris Benoit match on this pay-per-view.
Yeah, but pretty much every SummerSlam until he died, I'm pretty sure there's going to be a Chris Benoit match on there, so I don't see how that's surprising.
Gene McMahon battles Eric Bischoff on this pay-per-view.
Oh, dear. All right, never mind.
How in the world was Albert with Sable? Was there some weird angle where he won her as a valet?
I'm sure that there was a weird angle. Let's just go with that right from the bat.
Have no recollection of that.
I'm shocked that you'd have no recollection of an angle involving Albert and Sable. I'm stunned by this news, Sarah.
Yeah. Was this the JBL era of SmackDown commentary where he did yelling and then more yelling?
We're approaching the area of JBL as champion, so I don't think we're at JBL commentator yet. All right, I'm going to go with Fall Brawl 1995 from WCW, something completely different, in which you have the big grudge match between Ric Flair and Arn Anderson, and, yes, the War Games with Hulk Hogan's team against the Dungeon of Doom. It doesn't get much more exciting than that. So let's put that in, Fall Brawl 95. All right, and we will give the wheel a big spin for the randomizer, except my phone is dead, so I can't do the big wheel sound effect.
But I'll
dub it later. We're going to give the wheel a big spin. Round and round it goes. Raw, SmackDown, All-Star Wrestling, AWA, Global Wrestling, and we stop at Mid-Atlantic Wrestling. All right, so I know you're excited about this, Sarah. It's going to be Mid-Atlantic Wrestling from August of 1985. Wow, that's pretty impressive. And let's see what that entails exactly. Okay. Is it? No, that's not it. Yeah, it's going to be August 3rd, 1985. And, boy, some big doings here. You've got the Rising Suns taking on Sam Houston and Pat Tanaka. And in the main event, it's the Russians, Ivan Koloff and Nikita Koloff, against Stoney Burke and light heavyweight champion Denny Brown. That's Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling for August the 3rd, 1985. So many great choices, Sarah. You've got...
I just read, an entire three-paragraph section of Albert's Wikipedia page, and it just not explained how he ended up with Sable. This is a great mystery.
Okay, so now, in addition to hosting the show, I've got to find out why Albert's with Sable. Is that what you're telling me?
This is important, Pat.
Okay.
Because I did not remember this.
Yes, it's because it's something that you did not remember. All right.
Wikipedia is not helping me here.
Jeez. Do you see why we need Jim back, people? I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, this is for my own sanity.
Jim has this memorized. He knows why Albert was with Sable.
No, but he wouldn't ask me this question. That's why we need Jim back. I mean, come on. All right, hold on here.
Oh, I just Googled Albert was with Sable, and it's showing me cars.
Okay, I don't see how that's helpful.
I believe that is a Mercury Sable. All right,
Undertaker is fighting Albert at SummerSlam 2003. Why Sable? I don't know. Does Undertaker have a feud with Sable that I don't know about?
I don't know.
Okay, well...
I guess maybe I can go to Sable's Wikipedia page.
Hey, there's an idea.
Will not be there either, Pat.
Well, of course it's not going to be there either, but you're going to entertain the people in the process, I'm sure. All right, so what is... Jeez, I don't know. Where did you get the idea that Albert was with Sable here?
On the SummerSlam 2003. It was in a column somewhere.
Okay, here we go. And walk. Okay, so 2003, Undertaker's intro.
Wait. Revealing both of her breasts on live television in a match in which Sable smacked a clipboard over Stephanie's head. Vengeance, Sable defeated Stephanie after interference.
Sable's feuding with Stephanie McMahon. Right. Okay, I get that. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, but I don't get how the Undertaker's involved in this, or Albert.
I haven't figured that out either.
All right, so let's get ahead to what do we got here?
Oh, okay. So was there a Ministry of Darkness still? It seemed like that stopped in 1997, but
I thought there was.
I may have lost
track
of time.
Not in 2003, though. Hold on.
That continued until 2003.
Okay. Yep. Sable is coming to the ring with Al. Okay. Sable is coming to the ring with Albert, or as they're calling him here, A-Train. Yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. Sable is definitely with Albert.
You know, it's really sad because I know that TNA existed at this time, so Vince Russo couldn't have possibly booked this.
No, Vince Russo did not book that. Okay.
I know, but it seems like a thing that Vince Russo would have booked.
It is amazing. So Anyway, for next week, if you go to the Twitter page at Real Pat McNeil, you can vote for the choices, which are going to be Mid-Atlantic Wrestling, August 3rd, 1985, Fall Brawl, 1995, SummerSlam 2002, and SummerSlam 2003. Four fantastic choices, all available right now if you go ahead and vote. It'll be on Twitter by the time this show goes up on either Patreon or on the site on Sunday, and we'll have the voting, and we'll be ready for next week. And meanwhile, if you'd like to know more about Coco Beware, the Big Boss Man, Jake the Snake Roberts, Hercules Hernandez, or Jesse Ventura, you can visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, or The Wrestling Observer, or you can head down to your local library, except it's closed. Sarah?
Is this the part where I have to say
yes? Yes, it is.
All right, Jim Bailey will be back next week, and hopefully he will remember this 2003 angle with Sable and A-Train at the same way back time, same way back channel.
Close enough. All right, and we'll be here, and we're getting ready to count down to the 6th anniversary show, which will be Labor Day weekend. So keep in mind, come up with suggestions for what you want to see on that blessed event, and either Jim will be there or we will find yet another guest host, and it's been amazing. Thank you, Sarah. Sarah, tell people how they can interact with you and see your work.
Oh, okay. There's a website called Society 6, and I have an account on there, and my name is Sarah Knight, spelled with an H. You can find it there.
Also spelled with a K.
Yeah. With an H and with a K. That's pretty much it.
Well, I meant.
I'm sure Pat, there are a lot of.
I meant on social media though.
I'm sure Pat, there are a lot of wrestling fans who would love to see pictures of flowers and trees and birds.
You'd be surprised.
Male wrestling fans they love birds. They love birds so much.
I mean, maybe they'd want to see your writing. You know, that other stuff you do when you write.
Oh, on PW Torch where yeah. I do the reviews of the reality TV shows.
Yes.
Except for that god-awful Miz game show. I'm sorry, I can't watch that.
That's fine. Nobody's asking you to watch a Miz game show.
Yeah. Miz and Mrs. is actually, like, I enjoy that show for some strange reason. People apparently don't like Miz, but I don't know. I'm from the Midwest, so he's not really my type.
That's your excuse. Okay, I get it.
He's okay.
All right.
Yeah, on PW Torch, you can find my recaps of Total Bellas, which should no longer be a show.
No, it shouldn't be a show. You're right.
I did not want to watch the last season of that show, Pat.
Want to watch any season of that show.
Like, all they did was establish that Nikki was having a boy. That was all they did. And it was like 84 episodes.
And then she was pregnant.
And she just had a boy, and the boy has no name. Neither of those children have a name, Pat.
Okay.
Three-day-old children don't have a name. So wrong.
We're going to work this out so that somehow Sarah and Johnny Fairplay get to do a podcast together. That's what that's what I'd like to have. Your Twitter handle, kid.
Oh, I'm Sunshine Sight.
Yes, that's it. Sunshine.
Yeah.
All right, so for Sunshine Sight and for hopefully for Jim Valley and for Ken Banks of Ken and Tech, we will be back with you. Until then, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Sarah says good night.